This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday as we welcome you in to Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Mitch and Paul out for two more days. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel here in the meantime, holding down the fort at Circa Las Vegas as per usual. And it is a busy day, not only on the show for everything that we have news and sports wise, but also for you here on property. You got something you have to do after the show later.
Yeah, I will be part of a panel for the, Winter FSGA Conference, Fantasy Sports Gaming Association. I don't know what the A stands for. But yes, there's a VSiN panel going on later today that I will be moderating. So,
how do you feel about it? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? What's the vibe?
Nah, I mean, I think I'm a pretty, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, gregarious. I mean, you know, okay. I can talk. I can vent my way through some segments.
You are paid to speak. That is how you make your money.
Yeah,
so.
You know. So, I feel pretty good now. You know. If I'm not here tomorrow, probably means I got fired and that was terrible. So let's see what happens. But I feel okay right now.
I'm happy for you. Speaking of that, like one of many things that's going on here at Circa, we will have owner and CEO of the property, Derek Stevens, join the show a little bit later on. A couple of great guests on deck. Chris Jimenez, former MLB catcher, MLB Network Radio. I'm very excited to have him on, especially with the news that dropped today about the MLBPA and their executive director stepping down. We got more information about what that was. Just a about 20 minutes ago or so.
Oh, yeah. A little scandalous here.
A little bit. But, like, initially, what we all thought it was is an investigation that's been going on for the last, like, year and a half plus into the finances. But apparently it goes a little bit deeper with something personal. So we'll discuss that as well as continue our MLB preview series. Today we are on the St. Louis Cardinals. And Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com is going to stop by as well, talk through not only the expectations as the Olympic Games roll on. Obviously, we've got the women's gold medal game coming up on Thursday, where almost set here with the quarterfinals as well on the men's side. So we'll get to all of that as well as a look ahead to the NHL season. As we are at this break, it's a good time to kind of take a look at the futures, where things look moving forward, and dive in there. And we actually are going to start here real quickly, JVT, with the hockey, because Sweden and Latvia are going head to head as we speak. I believe we're still in the first intermission, so my thing hasn't updated yet to say that the second period has begun. Sweden currently up 2-0 right now. They were laying 2.5 on the puck line, -162 to be that right side. The total 5.5. It was really, really juiced to the over at -155. You could get a flat 6 also, depending on which way you played it. But those two goals, Adrian Kempe, Gabe Landeskog, or as he has been putting it, did you see these like pronunciation guide things around the Olympics? I love it. If you haven't seen it, look some of these videos up, because around the Olympics, they have the players pronounce their names and it's like a recording for themselves. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Landeskog specifically, Sweden, he says it all like Gabriel Landeskog is how he says it in like the native tongue way. And there are a lot of American athletes or athletes from other countries that have a very basic name, like a Colton Smith, for example. And they're like Colton Smythe, just like messing with people. In my line of work, those actually are super important when I'm doing a college football game or a basketball game. It's so helpful when you have the athlete actually pronounce their name their own proper way. And so when people are doing it like that, it's come on, man. But they're probably just like, you should know it's Colton Smith, right?
That one I think would be relatively easy. Who knows? But English is a very dominant language throughout our country here. So this one, you didn't have anything in this, correct?
No, I didn't, because I wanted, this was kind of a feel out game for me on Sweden, since the expectation is this is who Team USA is going to get in the quarterfinals. And I really wanted to see what version of Sweden was going to show up. And it looks like, at least, like they're playing really well to this point. They have built on a bit of the momentum we saw in that third game from them against Slovakia, where they didn't win by enough because of the goal differential to win the group, but they won that game against Slovakia. It seemed like they were getting to their game better. It seemed like, from a coaching standpoint, deploying their players a little bit better as well. So they are trending in the right direction, which could be a scary thought for Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well. Also, I mean, Latvia's goaltending, not really great. Two goals on 10 shot attempts at this point right now. So can't really feel good if you're Latvia here as you move forward into the second period. Got to get a little bit better in terms of turning those away. And I just don't know if you're going to get the shots either. I mean, you only got 6 shots on goal so far for the first period.
Yes. So we'll keep tabs on this as we go. And we are officially underway now here in the second period. Also overnight, Germany beat France 5-1, easily covered the 2.5 that we laid on the puck line yesterday. So they'll advance to face Slovakia tomorrow for a spot in the semis. That was all Germany from puck drop. Leon Draisaitl had a power play less than 4 minutes in.
Did you wake up to watch?
No, I did not. I told you I wasn't going to. Don't make me feel bad about it. Is it 3 o'clock in the morning our time?
It's my bad.
Absolutely not.
I was up at 3:30.
Yeah, but that's because you're weird and don't sleep anyways. That's just what you do.
There we go. See, everybody was up. Everybody was awake.
Okay, yeah, right. Germany.
Come on now.
3-0 in the first period for them. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare did score once in the second period for the French, but Germany responded with power play goal in the third, empty net goal, so they extend. They end up covering the number against Slovakia. Germany minus 118 favorite there, Slovakia minus 102, goal total 5.5. Switzerland also beat Italy, and this was a tough one for us. Did you see any of this? You were up, so you must have been watching then, right? If you're going to give me grief for not watching and not being awake, then you should at least get some grief for having bet this game and been awake for it and not watched it.
Stormy, we were pumping and grinding in the gym, all right? We were working, so
you can't multitask. You have a phone.
We got things to do here. You got to focus on what's going on, all right? Clanging and banging takes focus. It takes effort, okay? I have one goal here.
Well, did you at least go through the, like, game cast and see how it transpired?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of it on the phone. That's about it.
The fact that you're not saying anything about the game is my answer.
No, okay. You want to know what I know? I know that Switzerland didn't get it done. That's all I know.
Okay.
All I know is that I laid 3.5 on the puck line expecting that the Swiss here are going to be able to get it done against an Italian team who was awful. And again, these Italians, 51 shot attempts. And he turns away 48 of them. How are you going to keep doing this?
So this is what I was going to say. 51 shots on goal. Switzerland scores, by the way, 1:19 into the game. They go up 2-0 midway through the first.
Yep.
And we only get one more goal the rest
Come
of the way.
On 51 shot attempts.
Sickening for those of us that laid the 3.5. Sickening.
Is Clara the one that has the only NHL affiliation?
Yeah.
Claire's the...
Yeah.
Is he the greatest goaltender of all time? Is he not going to get called up after this? I mean, seriously, this production that we have seen between
Anaheim
the pipes.
Anaheim needs you.
Yes, for the Italians. I mean, what's going on here that we have seen? And for the women, too.
Yeah.
They've just been assaulted with rubber pucks for this entire Olympic
game.
They're
just fighting for country.
Yes, and they're just turning away
everything
that's going in their direction. That was insanity.
Yeah.
So, yes, Stormy, I did pay attention. I was trying to contain my rage.
I don't believe you.
What do you mean? I was watching. At least the box score.
I was like, you pulled it up just now and just looked at they had 51 shots on goal.
No.
Czechia also beats Denmark 3-2. Denmark covers the puck line +1.5, +110. It was a scoreless first period. So this was another one of those games, though, and I've brought this game up multiple times. You bring up the Italians versus Team USA. That the slow starting second period, we see a crazy amount of goals. And then third period, we get nothing. That was exactly what we got in that game once again. Scoreless first period, 5 combined goals in the second, nothing after that. So 3-2 ultimately there. And Czechia now advances to play Canada, where my medal play goes to die for the Czech Republic. I had them at 4-1, but I think they're just going to get walloped in this spot, which is fine as well because I have Canada futures. They're laying 3.5 +115 in that spot, -140 on Czechia, plus the goals, goal total 6.5. We'll get to plenty more hockey throughout the course of the day, as we should, because it's really, really going to be fun over the course of the next handful of days. But it was also a really, really big night in college basketball. JVT, 3 nationally ranked teams in action, including, of course, the game of the night, Houston and Iowa State, which absolutely delivered, especially late in this one. Iowa State wins and covers the 2.5, falls right on the number 2, 70-67, over 135.5. But for Houston defenses, as good as they are, you let the Cyclones go on a 17-4 run late, and the back and forth, not being able to get multiple opportunities in the final minute to either tie or win this game, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, they couldn't. It was disappointing. I mean, Houston looked like, as you're referencing here, maybe was going to run away with it themselves. And then at one point, you allow that run to happen. Not the catalyst of the run, but very late in the game, the kicked ball that wasn't, that was very clearly tipped by a defender's hand. Ultimately, Iowa State comes down, hits a pretty big three that kind of sparks everything for them as they move forward. Not that, of course, that was the reason for Houston, but it's a really big win for Iowa State. I mean, they didn't really force the turnovers you wanted. We talked about that. Houston does have good ball handlers, so how is that going to look? Well, only turned the ball over 7 times, and 5 of those were for 2 guys on the roster, so really took care of it for the most part. Shot the ball relatively well, were 12 of 34. Kingston Flemings, who was great in this game, 9 of 15 from the floor before, yeah. 6 and 3-point range was tremendous. But for Iowa State, man, that was a team effort. 3 scorers in double figures. They were very solid in terms of their percentage from beyond the arc, 9 of 22. And you get it done here at home in a nice little comeback win. Got to feel good about it. And in the race for the 1 seed, I brought this up with Adam Burke on Pod to the Futures today, which will be just dropped right now. UConn's got to be sitting back feeling pretty good, because Houston takes a loss, and now UConn maybe can finagle their way into being a number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. So that dynamic's going to be pretty fascinating. So this would have been a very good pelt for Houston to hang on the wall, if you will, for that quest for a 1 seed.
Yeah, I do want to talk about this game a little bit more, too, because the Big 12 odds have moved, yep, as well with this result. But you mentioned Kingston Flemings and what a great day he had, and it's true, 22-5-4 in the loss. But he trips driving to the basket in the final seconds of this game, still able to get the ball over to Chris Sinak, but then he misses a floater. There's a foul on that play that then, and we'll detail this all a little bit more when we get to Win Some, Lose Some a little bit later, but the opportunities that Houston had, I keep coming back to them over and over again. And maybe on the other side of this break, we can play the sound from Kelvin Sampson afterwards, because some nights there are games that break your way, some nights there are not, and where they put themselves in a position and could have won and didn't, they've got to be kicking themselves this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially the magnitude of this game, like you mentioned, what it means in the conference. As we mentioned, what it means for the NCAA tournament and your seeding as well. So this is an opportunity missed for the Houston Cougars against, obviously, a beatable opponent, because you had an opportunity to get it done. But a big win, for Iowa State.
The eventual game-winning three from the corner with the shot clock winding down for Iowa State, Nate Heisey, his sister on Team USA, also scored a goal yesterday in the game that ultimately cements Team USA to now play for the gold. What a day for the freaking Heisey family.
Very good.
Just, like, unbelievable. Nate and Taylor, good on you. Okay, we got to step aside here on Follow the Money. We are just getting started. Like I said, though, plenty more college basketball after this. Hearing from Kelvin Sampson, the Big 12 updated odds, and we've got a massive top 25 game in the Big 10 on deck tonight as well. Don't go anywhere.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Mika Zibanejad scored just shy of 6 minutes into the third period here as Sweden takes a 4-1 lead over Latvia. Sweden trying to cement their spot in the quarterfinals where they would play Team USA coming up as Olympic action rolls on. And boy, has this been fun seeing all the NHL players in action. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Excited to welcome in Adam Kimmelman on the Progressive Guest Line, NHL.com Deputy Managing Editor, also host of the NHL Draft Class podcast. But how much have you enjoyed all of the action out there so far in Milan?
Well, it's been great. You know, it's so long since we've had this level of hockey and in this sort of environment. And you can tell just how intense and how high-paced the games are. Like, this is, like, guys get up. This is Stanley Cup playoff level hockey intensity in a much more concentrated fashion, just because, you know, the games come up so quick and, you know, it's just been, it's been good. It's been fun. It's been competitive, probably even more competitive than we realized, because, you know, France pushed and they stayed in a couple of games. Italy pushed and they stayed in a couple of games. You know, Slovakia upset Finland on the first day, and none of us were expecting that. You know, Denmark has put on a pretty representative showing of itself. You know, yeah, it's been fun. And the powers that we expected to be the powers are the teams that are, you know, sort of taking to the forefront, U.S. and Canada especially.
So we've talked a lot, Adam, about this Canadian team, specifically in goal. What have you made of this rotation that the Canadians have thrown out there? And specifically, Jordan Binnington, we've talked about a lot. In his play in the NHL versus what you've seen here, is this sustainable?
I think if you go back a year ago to Four Nations, you saw what Jordan Binnington's able to do when he has, you know, all-star level players around him. You know, you don't have to make every save, but you have to make every important save. And he's shown that he's able to do that. You know, he was at his best when he had really, really good players in front of him. Look, that St. Louis team is struggling. They're near the bottom in the standings. They're having issues, you know, and he probably is part of those issues with his play. But I think you take good players and you put them in good situations surrounded by top-level players, and they're able to maximize their talents and their gifts. And I think that's what Jordan Binnington's able to do. You saw it a year ago at Four Nations, and I think you're seeing it now. I would be, you know, barring injury, I don't envision, you know, Jordan Binnington losing any playing time at this point. You know, we heard it after John Cooper said it after game one of the Olympics. Like, I made my mind up on who was going to be my starter a year ago. So there was no question in his mind. Maybe others had questions, but he knows what his players are capable of. And he knows what Jordan Binnington is capable of doing because he's shown it in international hockey.
Yeah, that was a good line. Oh, when did you decide it was going to be Binnington? Just, you know, 365 days ago. That said, with that being the one question mark that there was around this Canadian team and them holding up in net the way that they have, is there a team that you think could upend Canada, or is the gold medal theirs to take?
I think it's so close. Obviously, you know, like, you look at the U.S., obviously, I think, you know, Czechia is not going to be a walkover for them. You know, I'm not sure who they're going to go with in goal on the back-to-back, whether it's going to be Lukas Dostal or Dan Vladar. But I think absolutely Czechia is capable of upsetting them. Certainly the U.S. is. Sweden, you know, I have to, for all transparency's sake, Sweden was my gold medal winner favorite when we did our predictions on NHL.com. So I certainly think they're capable of beating Canada. I don't know if there's a team among the eight left that you can look at and say, well, nobody's beating these guys. I mean, look, it happens. You know, it's a one-game elimination tournament at this point, and, you know, all you need is one bad period, and it can send you home. So I think they would have to be the favorites, Canada, but by no means would I say they are an overwhelming favorite.
I don't think you were alone in thinking that Sweden would be a team that could medal, if not contend, moving forward in this thing. Yet they had such a slow start. It seems like the last two games they've kicked it into gear a little bit. That final game of group play against Slovakia, now what we're seeing here against Latvia. Their coach has been very criticized for how he's managed the lineup, doesn't want to play some of his best players at times for whatever reason. They, as if they end up winning this game as we expect them to with 6 minutes to go here up 4-1, have USA in their next game, how closely contested do you think that could be? Should the Americans be on upset watch there?
Oh, absolutely. I think with the Americans, you still wonder, you know, against the top level teams, do they have enough scoring? You know, you look at the players who aren't there, you know, Jason Robertson, Cole Caulfield especially, and, you know, you wonder where would they be if they had those guys. Obviously, they're the number two seed overall going into the quarterfinals. So obviously they're doing something right, but, you know, would they be even in a more secure position if they had those guys? So, you know, I think for sure with Sweden's quality and goal, whether they go with Markstrom or Wallstad or Gustafsson, no matter who they use, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for them to create the amount of offense. So for sure, I think it's, you know, assuming it's going to be U.S.-Sweden, as Sweden scores again here, I'm watching the game myself. It's going to be tough sledding for the U.S. It's going to be a close game. It might be, you know, there's a chance it could be the best game of the quarterfinal round. I think the teams are very evenly matched.
As you look at the bottom half of that bracket, we saw Germany beat up on France. They'll take on Slovakia. How do those two teams match up in your mind?
Well, I think Slovakia certainly opened eyes day one of the tournament with what they were able to do against Finland. I think, you know, they're a team that certainly showed they could score, certainly showed they're not going to back down from any of the quote unquote power four teams that are in the tournament. So yeah, I think it's going to be, I'm not so sure Germany has another one in them after winning today. They'll need Philipp Grubauer to have another, top level effort similar to what he did today. I don't know on short rest if he's capable of coming back and doing that at that level. I mean, obviously Leon Dreisaitl's Leon Dreisaitl, and I think he had, a goal and two assists today. So that's sort of what he's capable of in a big spot. So it'll be an interesting game. I would probably lean towards Slovakia, winning. But again, nothing would surprise me as far as another potential upset coming.
Yeah, even the odds indicate that should be a closely contested one. Germany slightly favored, minus 118. But if you do like Slovakia, just minus 102 on that money line. Switzerland beats Italy today, 3-0. Probably should have been more the way they were driving pucks on net, but couldn't get there. They're a plus 180 underdog to Finland. Any early thoughts on that game, too?
Well, it's going to be interesting. The Swiss, back-to-back years in the World Championship, they've been to the gold medal game. So I don't think anyone should be surprised that they're, going to go into the quarterfinals and it's not going to be a walkover for Finland. I mean, Juuse Saros has played very well for them, so far outside of maybe one little bump in the road early in the tournament. He's been really, really good for them. But this Swiss team, they are not going to be back. They're not going to give up. They're not going to be back down. They're not going to be intimidated by anybody, again, because they know what they're capable of doing and they know how they're capable of playing against some of hockey's powers. So, if I'm looking at this and there's one quote-unquote upset, I would, really look towards closest. I think Switzerland can beat Finland. I don't know if they will, but again, nothing would surprise me. These teams are so evenly matched. And, the fact that Switzerland has done it on the international stage the last 2 years probably gives them more confidence than the external opinion would be.
Adam, you have a lot of work here covering the National Hockey League, and I'm curious your thoughts as a draft guy and some of the talent that we have seen here. Does the NHL know that Italy is sitting on a gold mine of goaltenders, both women and men's? I mean, these performances from these Italian goalkeepers have been incredible.
Well, I think Anaheim probably has a good feeling on what they have with Damian Clara. I can't speak, unfortunately, too much to the women's game. I haven't had a chance to watch too much of it, but it speaks to the global growth of the game, both for the men and the women, that you can look at Italy, which is not a recognized powerhouse by any stretch on either side, men or women, and say, hey, this is where the future is. And it's great for the game, both men and the women, that it's like the U.S. women, it's great that they're going to play Canada in the gold medal game. But I think it would be better for the growth of the game if you had more teams involved. You saw more great talent coming out of Sweden and Finland and Italy and Switzerland and other places. That's the same on the men's side. Yes, Canada-U.S. men's final will be great in North America. It'll be great for the American audience. But man, let's get more people coming out of Sweden. We're watching Latvia right now. Albert Smits, number 3 for Latvia, probably could be a top 5 pick in the 26th draft. Let's get more guys like that coming out of quote-unquote non-traditional countries. And that's the whole point of having the NHL players in the Olympics. It's to take a kid who might not otherwise watch hockey, a kid in Italy, a kid in France, who might not otherwise be into hockey, but they know the Olympics, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is something I want to do. And you never know where the next Austin Matthews, the next Connor McDavid, the next Sidney Crosby is going to come from.
Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Enjoy the end of the game.
Thank you. Anytime.
Adam Kimmelman, speaking of young players as well, Macklin Celebrini is no longer coming up. He has arrived and has been fantastic to this point. Just 19 years old. He's on the ice stick tap and he wants the puck from Connor McDavid. It is an awesome thing. We got to step aside. More hockey a little bit later. Shifting gears to a little Major League Baseball with Chris Jimenez next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
If you laid the alts with Sweden in Olympic men's hockey today, you are 15 seconds away from cashing. Sweden extending their lead with a William Nylander goal a couple minutes ago to 5-1, and it looks like that is where we are going to close final. So good on you. That means the Swedish men will now face Team USA in the quarterfinals coming up. As those odds populate, we will hit you with it in a moment. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Follow the Money. That said, let's get into a little bit of baseball, because that actually has been the biggest news breaker of the day that we had coming in. Excited to have Chris Jimenez join us here on the Progressive Guest Line, former MLB catcher, doing great work over there at MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM Channel 89. And when we walked in initially this morning, Chris, I thought that everything that happened with executive director of the MLBPA, Tony Clark, stepping down, had to do with the misappropriation of funds that they've been investigated for, all of this. And then we get the Jeff Passan bomb that it's actually he relieved himself due to inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law, who was hired by the union. So what's the group chat been like in your circles today?
Holy cow. If I could say this on live radio, it would probably make everybody laugh. But it's been quite interesting, to say the least. There's been a lot of sister-in-law comparisons, and is it, you know, right or wrong? Obviously it's wrong, but like talking about if it's okay if it's your brother or your wife, like it's incredible to think.
Wife, sister, or brother's wife.
There you go. That's what I meant to say. I was trying to find the best way to say that without getting kicked off the show right off the bat. But yeah, it's been quite interesting, to say the least. I don't think any of us anticipated this. Last night, with the first meeting being scheduled today for the Cleveland Guardians, kind of getting X-nayed last night. So I think that kind of tipped some people off to, hey, something may be going on. But like Stormy said, we all thought it was due to, you know, the potential investigation that's going down right now with Tony Clark. And this flat out, this sucks. You know, anytime there's some public negative publicity in regards to anything that has to do with either Major League Baseball, the owners, or of course the players union, it's a bad look, right? It's a terrible look. And I think, you know, some people may think of this as a sign of weakness through the union, but I kind of look at it the other way. I think this may be something that potentially galvanizes the group of guys going into, you know, what is a looming December 1st deadline. Now, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then, but yeah, it was definitely a shocker to wake up to that and then find out the bombshell about a sister-in-law being involved, and we're like, wait a minute here. This is way deeper than we thought it was.
Chris, do you think this increases or decreases the chance of the shutout that seems to be on the horizon here? How does this affect negotiations for Major League Baseball and the Players Association?
Honestly, I really don't think it'll have much effect on negotiations at all, to be completely honest. They have specific lead negotiators. Tony is not necessarily involved in that. So, I mean, he is, but not at the table, literally leading those meetings. You know, he's in attendance and whatnot, to my knowledge. But yeah, I don't think it really affects much. It definitely looks bad, right, from the side of the owners, understanding, trying to find anything they can to kind of divide the players union and stick a wedge in there as much as they can. But I really don't think it will have much effect, truthfully, on the bargaining side of things. It actually may make things a little easier at this point.
All right, let's talk a little Major League Baseball here. Chris Jimenez with us, overlooking the season. Let's take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll start at the top and then look everywhere else here at this point with L.A. So let's just talk about it. How inevitable are the Los Angeles Dodgers with the way this roster is constructed?
They're very inevitable. And, you know, the amazing thing is, yes, they have some of the most premium talent that Major League Baseball has to offer, but they also have some of the best and most depth any roster has in Major League Baseball. They've done a fantastic job, not only this year, of really addressing the two needs they had, which was a legitimate defensive right fielder and a closer. I mean, they went out and got the best in both worlds on that regard. So that's the easy part of things, is you go attack that top part, but now it's filling in the gaps and those cracks. And this is where Andrew Friedman and Brandon Gomes are probably the best in the business. And it certainly helps to have, you know, LA in your back, you know, basically on top of your hat saying, listen, we're back-to-back defending world champions. If you want to come here and be a part of this, we would love to have you come in. We see a role for you. They just do a great job of pitching to a lot of players that you're going to probably start the year in AAA, but at some point, inevitably, somebody's going to get hurt. We will need you, and you will be a part of this thing. And I think that's a really big draw for guys, especially nowadays.
So there's a lot of teams that I think a lot of folks would point to potentially upend the Los Angeles Dodgers. The one team that, from a betting perspective, I don't understand why they're not getting more respect. Are the Detroit Tigers not the best team in the American League when all is said and done?
Yeah, I think, you know, That's an interesting question, because I think you could make an argument that they have the best pitching staff in the American League. 1 through 13, that includes the 5 or 6 starters and, you know, 7 or 8 guys in the bullpen. But I think where the market is right now is everybody's severely concerned about the offense. And I think there's a right to feel that way. You know, for the first 2 months of the season, this offense was going off like gangbusters. I think everybody kind of knew that at some point they would come back to the median. I don't think anybody really anticipated them dropping as low as they did or having the stretch that they had offensively. It just, at some point, you know, the averages are going to play out, and you would think that they would find a way to come back to at least somewhat close to what they were doing the first 2 months of the year. So I understand it from that aspect. They didn't really add much offensively this year. They are going to be relying on a lot of the same cast, but they do have some players there that I absolutely love personally. I think Dylan Dingler might be the best overall catcher in baseball, not named Cal Raleigh right now. And I also like Riley Green a lot too. Now he had a pretty rough second half last year, and he's going to have to find a way to kind of navigate that full season of putting up those types of numbers. But to hit 34 homers and still find a way, you know, to have a bad 2 months is a pretty impressive year all the way around. They're just going to really be looking to some of these younger players to kind of take that next step. And that's kind of a tough place to be. My Cleveland Guardians are in the same boat right now, and I've seen it for the last 2 years, and it doesn't necessarily play out that way all the time.
The Tigers 11-1 in the American League. Your Guardians, by the way, 20-1 in that market. The Tigers, yeah, in terms of the World Series, 25-1. And just to show the disparity, the Dodgers is the short shot +230. The next closest team is the Yankees at 10-1 after that. So like, they are definitely looking in a class in their own from an odds perspective. Take me through your Guardians though. Like, what are the expectations in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, internally, the expectations are to take that next step. And I do know this. I could make the argument Detroit has the best pitching staff in the American League, but the Guardians are right up there and should be right up there with them. We know how good their bullpen's been the last couple of years. There's a few guys in this rotation that are looking to take the next step. The problem with that is this pitching staff in general has been relied upon very heavily the last 2 years in particular to make the runs that they've made. And I'm worried about, you know, that kind of coming back to bite some of these young men in the rear end here. With the injury bug. And obviously I don't want to put any of that bad juju on my team or anything like that, but I think it's a fair thing to see, you know, potentially play out because of how much these guys have been utilized. And again, we're in the same boat from an offensive standpoint. We need to rely heavily on young players. And listen, I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing. I actually think there's a lot of positives that can be taken out of this. There's some real opportunity for some of these young kids to come up and really make a name for themselves. They have to take that and grasp it and go play with it. But the problem is, you know, there's a lot of unproven talent there, and they are very left-handed, and that is going to be an issue. And they have had some issues in the past with trying to convince free agents to come out. Obviously, they can't play at the top of the market from a monetary perspective, but they have been able in the past to at least offer playing time, and that's not something I think they've been willing to do. Is they need to see what they have in these young kids, and that way they can make decisions going forward.
Chris, last 90 seconds, who is the biggest roadblock for Los Angeles in the National League?
In the National League, that's a great question. I'm going to say the Phillies. I still like the Phillies a lot. I know they're getting older. A lot of that depends on Zach Wheeler's health for sure, but I still like their pitching staff. Bringing Schwarber back, I think, was something they had to do. Getting rid of Castellanos, I think, again, was something they had to do. But I think the Phillies are going to be pretty tough to deal with this year in some capacity.
Chris, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure you're just going to get more and more texts about everything with the MLBPA today. It's going to be a long day. Thank you for this.
I'm really looking forward to those texts too. See how many times I can laugh.
I'm sure his show will be very busy coming up as well. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you check out Loud Outs, MLB Network Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 89. Doing great job over there. Really appreciate the time and insight, especially from someone who played the game at the highest level for as long as he did. Philly's 7-1 on the odds board for the National League. Dodgers +130. That's 7-1 price, pretty on par with what we're seeing from the Mets and Braves as well.
Yeah, I think everything we've covered with him, one of the things that really does stick out is, as you can tell with my leading question, I really like this Tigers team, man. The pitching staff's great. I understand all of the concerns about the offense, but they are very, very good. And Chris is very good, too, despite the fact that he went to up north.
That place.
Yeah.
That we don't talk about.
He's not one of the uncultured hicks that I talk about all the time that went to that school.
Also, as we talk about Major League Baseball season coming up, good to note, our MLB betting guide here on VSiN officially out as of today. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you've already got it right there, able to download whenever you need to. You can also get it a la carte, $19.99, VSiN.com/guide. Full breakdowns from both our own Adam Burke and Jensen Lewis. Every single team, you get an analytical perspective. You get the player perspective. Doesn't get any better than that. We got to step aside when we come back. Our VSiN NBA betting expert, Zach senior Cohen's analyst, on? Jonathan Von Tobel, going to break down the association with us. Look ahead to the second half.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only right here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. One lucky winner scores a two-night stay here at Circa, a VIP cabana for the games out at Stadium Swim with $500 in credit plus $250 in food and beverage as well. Arrive in style with limo transportation, celebrate with cocktails at Legacy Club, and so much more. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship right here where we're broadcasting from, Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, head to CircaLasVegas.com. That's CircaLasVegas.com. As we welcome you back to Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And we've got the owner and CEO here of Circa, Derek Stevens, live in studio with us. And as people are trying to transition out of football season, football and the World Soccer Championship will be here before we know it. World Cup's almost here.
Well, first off, great to see you. I missed you guys since Sunday. I really did. Yeah. So great to see you as you're filling in for Mitch and Paul. So the World Soccer Championship, let me just understand. Is that the brother of the big game?
Yeah, right.
It is?
It is.
Okay.
That's very well put.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. I haven't seen our own marketing on this. So the World Soccer Championship.
We had Mike Palm on last week, and then he was like, we're not allowed to call it World Cup. But we said it right after the advertisement was over.
I gotcha. Okay, so what is great about the World Soccer Championship is that it's a record number of games this year, and we are really looking forward to having every game on somewhere at Circa with full audio. So there's a few times in the early games where we're going to have to do it here and something different in Stadium Swim, but we're expected to blow this thing out. It should be a ton of fun.
With this, maybe this is a dumb question, but I would assume you're going to get a little bit more international visitors coming in with an event like this. Do you change the way you do stuff around here? Do you add to the drink menu? Do you do different things to cater to different audiences?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to show soccer.
Yeah.
which we don't necessarily focus on. But this we will. I mean, every game, we're going to treat every game just like an NFL playoff game. But I think the crowd for this is going to – this is so different than years past. Time zone related has something to do with it. And then I think here, specifically in Las Vegas, there are a lot of people that are soccer fans. But I think also with the international visitation, I think if people are coming from wherever they are in the world, they're not just going to go to one location to watch a game. Sure. They're going to come to America, and they're going to visit three or four different spots. And I think Vegas is going to be a hot spot. I'm hoping that to be the case. So I'm hoping that we're going to see massive crowds for Canada, massive crowds for Mexico, obviously the South American countries, and then European countries. I mean, I think we ought to see a lot from Europe and Italy and Spain. It should be fun.
Yeah, should be a blast. Reminder again, CircaLasVegas.com if you want more information about the getaway package potential there. Should be a blast. Speaking of international, obviously we've got the Winter Olympic Games going on right now. You guys offered a bunch of hockey, curling things here. How has it been for you guys?
Oh, I mean, how am I supposed to candy coat it? I mean, this stinks. It's hockey's been fun to watch, but you know, we got a big women's game tomorrow, so they're -500. Yep. I mean, we're not going to get
the pricing
a lot
on this stuff is tough.
The U.S. you're laying more goals than some NFL teams have laid on points. It's
the other day she took 7 in a hockey game.
Did
you
really?
Cashed it? Let's go.
the fact is that Olympic betting is minimal. It's just de minimis.
Yeah.
Uh, So it cannot replace the fact that we've got the double whammy of no NHL and no NBA.
Yeah.
It's no NBA. It's just, it's got to be killing you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, I'm not even, I don't really like the All-Star. Outside of the three-point contest, I don't really watch the All-Star games at all. I would assume, I mean, there's not much handle for an All-Star game in general anyway, so it's a very quiet time, and that's the part that stinks. I mean, outside of college basketball, it really does die down. I mean, she knows how many times we've been live betting women's and men's Olympic hockey because we're just looking for something here.
I mean, this might be the jump start that college baseball needs right now.
Sure.
I mean, because
they should do more around this time. Yeah.
Right.
Meanwhile, we do have college basketball on deck.
Yes,
so
yes.
With your Michigan ties, are you all Michigan all the time in everything? Like with that big game today against Purdue, are you interested in Big Blue? How are we feeling?
Yeah, I am. I mean, but I mean, this is the only thing I would say is this is the typical spot as in my gambling days. A team gets ranked up to number one and then has to go on the road into a very tough spot at night in the middle of winter. I generally like home dogs in that situation. So obviously that's a feature game of the night. So I'm excited about watching it. But I don't know about laying 2.5 or 3.
Just tipped off, by the way, it was the 3:30 tip on Peacock. So we are just underway, scoreless so far. So you're good start. Good start for Michigan. Haven't given up.
You're going to in-game bet this, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, okay. It's a ton of. This is kind of this is the prime time too to sit back, watch some of these games, see how they get started. Especially when you talk about a game like this where the total got bet up, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a tight spread at 2.5. The volatility, you would assume you're going to be able to find some sort of in-game angle as the game goes along.
What have you guys been talking about the Boston College game?
It's funny you bring that up. Femi of Ebefe, who was on earlier, he's filling in on this to follow the money. Under was the play that he had and that a lot of people had. Right now you got 54 points with 5 minutes left to go in the first. But that seemed to be a trend that I had read throughout, was that BC and the under was the way to go here.
BC's pretty dominating first half here.
Yes, they're up 14 for a team that is not off to a great start, obviously, through 12 games in conference play. They have been awful, but, yeah, it seems like it. ACC today is actually really good because we get North Carolina later today against NC State. That's coming up as well.
Louisville, SMU.
Yep. Big picture, as we kind of get closer, Derek, we're less than a month away from Selection Sunday. By the way, fond memories of Selection Sunday back in the early days of VSiN with you.
Yes.
When you would come into the studio and bet all the games in the first round. So how much does college basketball handle pick up here? And not even just with the vacuum of power with the NBA and NHL out, but now that we're getting closer to the tournament.
Oh, I mean, obviously it's still the biggest week of the year in Las Vegas. I just got out of a hotel meeting. We're kind of looking at arrival patterns.
Yep.
One thing that I continue to see that's very interesting to me is the arrival patterns continue to get earlier and earlier and earlier. It was really only, I would say, maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when Wednesday kind of became equal to Thursday for arrival pattern. Now Wednesday blows away Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday is now an arrival day. And now I think some of that has to do with playing games.
Yep, the first four.
But it's also due to the fact that I think Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific time, is a time that people just don't want to miss. Mm-hmm. And it's just moved earlier. So I think what you're going to see on the Wednesday night in here, it's going to look like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You know?
So obviously that start of the tournament is huge, but I know something we talk about as locals all the time is how much fun it is to be here for conference tournament weekend and all the games that are hosted here during that week. What's the flood of people like that time?
That's going to be terrific. I mean, that goes all the way from about March 5th up through about the 14th or something like that. That in many ways for college basketball fans, that is a great week to be.
You could argue it might be better.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can. And now we're seeing sports tourism for conference tournament week. It's significant.
By the way, I do have to do something after the show up here on the property. The winter meetings for the Fantasy Sports Gaming Association is here as well, huh?
Yeah.
Upstairs.
I just gave a little, I gave the lunch little keynote speech.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah, this is my first time going up there. VSiN's got a little bit of a panel. I get to. What's the word? Host the panel?
Yeah.
Moderate. Like moderate. There we go. I'm a moderator today.
I heard because when I was coming off, they said there's a special group with VSiN coming up afterward, and they were asking about the integration of VSiN and how does VSiN impact their hotel casino. So
So what else were you getting into when you were talking?
Well, I was up front. They wanted to know about my background, how I got here, why I don't like taxes, like how we build casinos, sports betting. I said I'm open to everything, take all Q&A. I said I'll even take questions on prediction markets. But yeah, if any of you work in prediction markets, I'm not going to hold back because you're all going out of business.
Yeah, I was going to say really quick, I was trying to find the news. There was some news coming down with the prediction markets in Nevada today. I believe the
Ninth Circuit Court had ruled. You're correct.
Yes.
Yes.
So that
ruled
was
against Kelce. Pretty big deal.
Right?
Yeah. So can you explain that a little bit?
In Kelce terms, it means if they lose something, that just means they resue. And it just kicks it up. But Kelce's taken it in the teeth a couple times. Prediction markets have. In the last week or so. But at the same point, the chairman of the CFTC says they've been monitoring sports wagering for the last 20 years. This guy's ceiling is unbelievable. How does he even look at himself in the mirror?
What a joke
of a guy, this guy. Chairman
that
of the
video
CFTC?
Was ridiculous. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You got to watch what this guy says today. Are you kidding? How can you even say this? This guy is an absolute joke.
The comments of the video we were texting earlier. Yeah. I was like, that's where I want to live. It's just the comments of everybody trashing on this guy. Derek, you're awesome. I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Great to see you.
Yes, back at you. Okay, when we come back, we are closing out this Tuesday edition of Follow the Money. We have In Pocket Plays and a little more college basketball to hit on before we go. Have a great day, Derek. We'll see you in a bit.